Welcome to Storytime by Chava. We are up to chapter 83 of the book Once Upon a Journey, volume 2 by Rabbi Zalman Ruderman. This chapter is called A Secret is Revealed. It is true that Hashem is our loving parent and we are his precious children, Rachel explained to her daughter. He is delighted to answer our davening. Nevertheless, children sometimes approach their parents with very strange requests. And even the most loving parents are forced to say no. The same is true of our tefillahs to Hashem. Our dear Father in Heaven would like to make us happy, but sometimes he is not ready to fulfill our request for some reason. When a Jew davens for something urgent and is not answered, he has another option. He can turn to someone who is an expert in the secret meanings of Hashem's holy names. This tzaddik can use his knowledge to daven on the person's behalf. The tzaddik begs our Father in Heaven to have mercy on his child who needs his help. The tzaddik's davening can be even more effective than the davening of the person who needs help. Rachel felt that her daughter understood, and this pleased her greatly. She decided to tell Devor Leah more about her own childhood experiences. My father, Olive Shalom, truly loved the simple, uneducated Jews. He admired their pure faith and their good, honest hearts. He would often say, I am more impressed by the pure and simple ways of Leib Shaul, the wagon driver, than by the brilliant Chiddushei Torah of Reb Shlomo Leib, the Eloi of Prague. At the same time, my father did not want me to remain uneducated. He encouraged me to learn Torah and trained me to learn Tanakh, Mishnayos, and even Halacha and Gemara. However, he warned me to keep my studies a secret. I was not allowed to say anything to anyone outside the family that would reveal my Torah knowledge. I kept my secret so well that when I married your father, he had no idea that I know as much as I do. Your father, as I've already told you, was raised in a family that had quite a different opinion about girls and women learning Torah. Hashem, though, had his own plan. One day something happened that gave away my secret, Rachel explained in a quiet voice. When I think about it now and see how it turned out, I can laugh a little, she added. Dorothea thought she saw a mysterious twinkle in her mother's eye as her young heart pounded with excitement and curiosity. It happened during Shabbos, not long after our marriage. The entire family was making its way back from Shul. My father, your father, and my brother Binyamin led the way, while we women walked behind. All the women were wearing gloves which were not attached to the sleeves of our coats. My brother Binyamin carried a number of svarim under his arm. All of a sudden, the community shamash was running down the street, warning everyone that the Eruv had broken. It was forbidden to carry in the street on Shabbos. We all stood still in shock. The three men began to debate what should be done with the gloves and the books, but found it difficult to reach a clear halachic decision. You know, said my father eventually, we men are so busy learning Gemara and all its commentaries that we neglect to learn halacha properly. Then a question arises out of the blue, and we need to know what to do, but we do not know. With that, my father turned to me, and to my great surprise, he said, Nu, Rachel, you are an expert in Shulchan Aruch. Please tell us exactly what we are meant to do in this case. I felt my face turning red. It was an extremely awkward moment. My young husband, your father, my dear, had not known a thing about my knowledge until that point. I was worried it might upset him to discover that I was well-versed in Torah. On the other hand, my own father had publicly asked me a question, and I had no choice but to answer. Taking a deep breath, I quoted the halacha as it is stated in the Eruv Chaim section of Shulchan Aruch. Your father's eyes flew wide open in surprise and shock. As soon as we arrived home, the men rushed to check the halacha in their svarim and soon realized that I had quoted the law correctly. Your father was not very pleased with this discovery, and he and my father had a tense discussion. At one point, I remember your father complaining. When Chazal discussed the wife of a Talmud Chacham, they said, Eishes chaver ki chaver. The wife of a trusted scholar is also considered a trusted scholar. But we are now facing a situation in which the wife is a scholar herself. My father responded sharply. There is a similar expression in Talmud Yerushalmi. There, Chazal say, Eishes listim, kilistim. The wife of a bandit is also considered a bandit. As a husband, you always have a choice. It is up to you to decide whether your wife will be considered Eishes chaver, the wife of a trusted scholar, or Eishes listim, the wife of a bandit. Dvorlea listened carefully to her mother's words and asked thoughtful questions. When their discussion finally ended, she begged her mother to learn with her and share further stories whenever she had the time. Rachel agreed, and the bond between the two of them grew stronger and stronger. As the months passed, Dvorlea acquired an impressive knowledge of Torah and of Jewish history. Her father, Reb Zalman, realized that his daughter had changed. She was more thoughtful and serious, and she seemed to know much more than most other girls. He understood that his wife must be teaching her. Although he did not officially agree to his daughter's learning, he did not say anything against it either. It was quite clear from his reaction that in his heart, he was truly proud of her. Reb Zalman and his devoted wife Rachel were very different from each other. More than a difference of family history, they also had very opposite characters. Rachel was excellent at expressing her thoughts and feelings. She had many friends, and everyone who met her enjoyed her company. Reb Zalman, on the other hand, was by nature a very private person. He was extremely intellectual and did not share his feelings. Nor did he enjoy spending his time on anything except learning. In many ways, like their parents, Dvorlea and her younger brother Baruch were also very different. Dvorlea was lively and warm-hearted, friendly and communicative, like her mother. Baruch, similar to his father, was a loner, quiet, preferring his own thoughts over a conversation with others. He liked to sit and think in solitude. These traits, which had their benefits when used for learning and davening, had a negative side too. Baruch hardly had anything to do with his sister, and when he did speak to her, he was cold and distant, as if she were a complete stranger. Rachel was greatly pained by what she observed. She tried to create a warm relationship with Baruch, like the one she already enjoyed with Dvorlea. She longed to share the fascinating details of their rich family history with him too. Baruch, however, was not able to open himself up, not even to his own mother. Rachel hoped that perhaps when Baruch was a little older and more mature, she would succeed in helping him appreciate the need for a warm family bond and the value in discovering their family history. Sadly, that day never came. Rachel suddenly fell ill. She remained weak and was confined to her bed for some time. During her illness, she had managed to place her thin, trembling hands on the heads of her young son and daughter, blessing them silently, her lips moving weakly. It was clear that she desperately wished to tell something to her precious children, but she was so weak that her voice couldn't be heard at all. Soon after, she returned her soul to her Creator. After her mother's passing, Dvorlea worked to support the family. She was an excellent seamstress. She now devoted herself to sewing in order to earn a living. Reb Zalman, her father, was shattered by the sudden passing of his beloved wife. He felt so broken that he no longer had the strength to teach in the local cheder. He grew weaker by the day, and within a short time, he too passed away. Dvorlea and Baruch were now orphaned from both of their parents. Dvorlea was ready to continue working in order to support herself and her younger brother until he would be old enough to start a family of his own. Baruch, however, had other ideas. One day, he simply got up and disappeared from Vitebsk without telling anyone where he was going or why he was leaving. Dvorlea felt terribly pained by Baruch's disappearance and felt lonelier than ever. Her grandfather, Amisha, the head of the Jewish community of Posen, invited her to live in his home. She preferred to remain in Vitebsk because she did not want to be far from her dear parents, whose graves she visited often. There, she felt free to pour out her heart and share her troubles and worries. She told her parents everything that happened to her, speaking to them as if they were still alive and she was standing before them. One fine day, she was delighted to share a piece of good news. She excitedly informed the souls of her departed parents that she had been suggested as a kala for a special young man. His name was Esav Yitzchak, and he had such a remarkable mind, and he was so knowledgeable in Torah, that he was known as the Eloi, the young genius of Sharia.